Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
40 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus ascended into heaven. Angels told witnesses to his ascension that Jesus would one day come again from heaven to earth. Are you ready for his return, which will be with power and great glory? Reach out to him today, if you haven't already, so that he can forgive your sins. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 11.
The primary commandment and mission of the church is the proclamation of the gospel, to preach it. What does it mean to preach? Well, there's a Greek word, kerusso. It means to publish. It means to herald. It means to proclaim. You know what catches people by surprise in our nation? We are a pretty biblical, illiterate nation. Try this, witnessing. The Messiah has come. He's risen. No, who? That's a proclamation. Now, telling them about the four spiritual laws, that's good, helpful. But the proclamation, as we will see, is that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has been buried, Christ rose again. That's the context. You will be witnesses unto me. Acts 8:4. They that were scattered by the persecution went everywhere preaching the gospel. The church is the strongest when it's being persecuted. It's the weakest when it's being pampered. You and I as believers, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, part of our armor is what? Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of what? Gospel of peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Right? Notice it's the gospel of God. There was a time in Luke chapter 13, and I know you guys know your Bibles, where there are some individuals who tried to draw Jesus into a conversation about the fate of some individuals who had perished. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, Jesus replied, I'm not going to get into the weeds about what happened to them and why it happened. He said to them, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, the idea was, well, these guys must have really suffered because they were really bad sinners. And Jesus says, hold the phone. Except Ray Viola repents, you're going to perish. Now, I do believe, as long as the world continues to spew out its unbiblical, ungodly nonsense, the church needs to speak up and present the biblical worldview. We must. As important as it is for Christians to take stand for biblical standards of righteousness, such as pro-life, the biblical teaching on marriage, gender, creation, we need to remember, beloved, that the only message that can offer sinners forgiveness of sin and make them new creatures is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Little history lesson for you. Did you know that when our country decided to bomb Hiroshima for 10 days, leaflets were dropped out of the airplanes warning people to flee? Listen to this. Here was the leaflet. Read this carefully, as it may save your life or the life of a relative or friend. In the next few days, some or all of the cities named on the reverse side will be destroyed by American bombs. These cities contain military installations and workshops or factories which produce military goods. We are determined to destroy all of the tools of the military clique which they are using to prolong this useless war. But unfortunately, bombs have no eyes. So in accordance with America's humanitarian policies, the American Air Force, which does not wish to injure innocent people, now gives you warning to evacuate the cities named and save your lives. May I suggest to you that we as Christians at least owe it to warn people of the judgment that is to come. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 2? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a death sentence on this planet. There's a death sentence on every human being. And the only way to escape the death sentence and the consequences of sin is by repenting and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to be a witness? Well, to be a witness, you want to be more like Jesus. How many of you, that's your prayer? I want to be more like Jesus. So that's a lifelong journey. And we're never going to make it. But the standard is still Christ. It's no other man. The standard is Christ. To be a witness, to bear witness, here's what it means. To affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something, and he knows it because it came to him by divine revelation or inspiration. Remember up in Caesarea Philippi? Jesus asked the disciples, the apostles, whom do men say that I am? And you know the account. Some say you're this, some say you're that. And then Simon Peter, blessed old Simon Peter, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And remember what Jesus said to him? Boy, Simon Peter, you've been taking notes. Simon Peter, you must have read that on the internet. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, it's one thing to be taught theology or the Bible through an institution, and that can be remarkable. But if it's not by the inspiration of the Spirit, it's just information. Most of you already know this, but for those who don't, the Greek word for witness is martis. You know the English word martyr? Come to Christ and die. How inviting is that? But it's a necessity. You see, because in the kingdom, it's the opposite of the world. You die to live. You give to get. You decrease that Christ might increase. Martyr, same word used to describe Stephen in the book of Acts. Antipas in the book of Revelation. A witness is an individual who dies to self and the glittering gold of this fallen world system in order to be a living testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, the context here, Acts 1:8. You need the power of God to be a witness of the resurrection. I'm just going to read you some passages of Scripture real quickly. Acts 1:22. Judas has gone. They need to find someone to replace Judas. Must one be ordained with us to be a witness, what? Of his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is important. It's vital. Acts 3:13. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead. And we are witnesses. Witnesses what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You're going to see a theme here. Fits in with Acts chapter 1, a witness of the resurrection, a witness that Jesus Christ is alive. You see, your life and my life as Christians should be a witness that Jesus Christ is very much alive. Living in you, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. Always. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30. One, him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and we are witnesses of these things. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, him God raised from the dead on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses. Acts 13, verse 30, God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses. What are we to be a witness of? Now, we can share the Bible and share Scripture with people. Of course, I know that. We can be teaching about the kingdom of God. And we'll look at that in a minute. But the message of the gospel is that Christ has come. Christ has been crucified. Christ has been buried. And Christ has risen again. That's it. Now you can say that. You can say that and it means nothing. But when you are filled with the Spirit of God, there's power. There's life. You're not just sharing information. You see the difference? The goal is to be Spirit-filled witnesses. I don't care if you call yourself an Arminian, a Calvinist. I don't care what you call yourself. You need to be, I need to be, we need to be Spirit-filled witnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And if you're not going to reflect His character, and if you're not going to weep over the people that are lost, don't witness. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, "It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And you are witnesses of these things. Witness. That's you. I'm looking at you. Not Jehovah Witnesses. Witnesses. In the Middle East. Witnesses. At the pizza place. Right? I'm talking about Ron. Witnesses. Where you guys work. We're called to be witnesses. Transplants from heaven. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Meekness, not haughtiness, not arrogance, not self-righteousness, but like Jesus. In the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And interestingly, the Greek word for comforter comes from a Latin word fortis, which means brave. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you or me, He will enable us to have courage to share the gospel. Do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that? I read this on the internet, so it probably is true. Well, this statement is, when the Holy Spirit comes upon followers of Christ, the most unlikely people become witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness and power and love. Remember the old Western Gunsmoke? Matt Dillon? You can tell them. There they are. I mean, they're out there. Matt Dillon. Witnesses? I got you, Dave. Is that the way Jesus witnessed? There's at least five times in the Gospels where when Jesus went witnessing, the Bible says He was moved with compassion because He saw lives that were wrecked by sin and the consequences of sin. And saints, we need to be a weeping congregation. If we're going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, we need to be compassionate, moved with compassion. I've often thought when Jesus witnessed to the multitude, who was in that multitude? Did you ever think about that? And He knew that many of them would not even want to give Him the time of day. But you know, Jesus Christ, listen to this, beloved, is the perfect theology of heaven in human skin on earth. You want to have perfect theology? Look at Jesus. You want to see the perfect expression of theology? Look at Jesus. Witnesses do not invent their own message, but faithfully declare what they know to be true. The witness of the church did not end with the apostles, but must continue to the ends of the earth. For God's purpose is to bring this message concerning Christ and redemption to all nations. You just heard Ben and Chester, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus was the good shepherd who left the 99 to find one who was lost. Jesus was the great communicator who conversed with one woman at a well, who did not have a very good reputation. He was the gifted teacher who sought out one man in a tree. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He knew that they were sinners, but he never assumed the worst of them. Spirit-filled witnesses. That's my prayer. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. I want to be a spirit-filled witness. I want to be, and I want us to be, spirit-filled witnesses, beloved. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's a spirit-filled witness. I think of our dear brother Tony Joseph. That man was a spirit-filled witness. And I imagine when we get to heaven, how many people are there because he loved them into heaven? No compromise. Love them. And so, here's Jesus. You know the scene. And while he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up. One of these days, you and I are going to be taken up. Taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Can you imagine being there? Two men said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? And I mentioned earlier, are you kidding me? If Jesus were to appear in the sanctuary, and then he were to ascend up to heaven, would I be the only one going, let me read into this, and it's always dangerous to read into a passage of Scripture. Here's what I'm hearing now. He already told them what the mission was. Why are you looking up when soon and very soon you're going to be going out? We've been called, beloved, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Christ is going to come again, just like he left. Again, if you've ever gone to Israel, on the Mount of Olives, there's a church that is called the Church of the Ascension. And if you go there today, the guides, who are usually, unless you go on a Christian tour, they're usually unsaved. They will show you a footprint. And Ben could tell you better than a footprint that is supposedly the place from which Jesus took off when he ascended up to heaven. Yet Luke 24 says that Jesus traveled with his disciples past the Mount of Olives to Bethany before he ascended. You know what the moral of the story is? When you don't read the Bible, people are vulnerable to all kinds of traditions and myths that have no biblical sense. Now he is going to return second time, and he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And when he does, that mountain's going to split in two. That mountain did not split in two in 70 AD, but it will. And when he returns, you and I are going to return with him. And so, here we are today, 2025. July 20th. We've got a task, saints. Every one of us. Every one of us. You, me, no matter how old, no matter how young. If you're born again, we have a commission. The King of Kings has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So for the sake of people that are here who might not be yet saved. There is no sanctification in those green chairs or in any pew. There's people who sit in churches for years and then they get born again. Or have gone to church, a church, myself included, for years, and then you're born again. What did Peter say in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn to God from sin. What is repentance? Repentance is a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. And you're not passive in this. Joshua said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. If you're going to live for the world, go for it. But be prepared to pay the consequences. You're going to live for Christ, go for it. And be prepared for the consequences. There's a cost. Not a redemptive cost. But you're going to have to come to grips with things that the Lord will sift out of your life. All things are lawful, but not all things are necessary. Are you willing to be a martyr for Jesus? Anybody? You know, sometimes it's easier. I shouldn't say this by experience, but I would want to think it would be easier that if it was ever illegal and to preach the gospel, I would want to believe we would still meet. And then if they came and arrested us and wanted to kill us and lined us up, I would just hope that the guy with the gun did not miss my heart. You know, sometimes it's harder to be a martyr for Christ. We've got it so easy in this country, don't we? Right, Ben? We've got it pretty easy. We've got it good, guys. Our God is good to us. And I'm thankful for it. Here we are. Air conditioned. Roof over our head. Every one of us came here and a donkey of some form. We're going to have a picnic. And it's the goodness of God. Just think of God's goodness toward this planet. He's feeding this entire planet. Just think of that. He's catering this entire planet. How many billions of us? Because it's the goodness of God. That leads us to repentance. Oh, that the children of men say it's the goodness of God. Have you ever repented of your sin and trusted Christ? When Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Wow. Do you hear that? If a person does not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and ascension into heaven, then your faith is in vain, empty, and useless. You know what that means? Isn't it interesting? Every religion believes in Jesus in some way, shape, or form. Are they saved? No, because they don't believe in his death, burial, and resurrection from heaven, resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. Paul says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. I like to think of the gospel this way. Ready? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the gospel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.